Oh man, one of those classic movie scenes. Anybody ever overcompensated for something that's going on inside of you and you just find yourself in a situation like, I don't even know where that came from? Well, we're gonna talk about that a bit this weekend. And man, so good to see you guys. So good to have you with us. My name's Kurt. If you're here for the first time, we certainly hope it's not your last time. Let's make some noise for those tuning in online with us this weekend. Man, so excited to have you guys joining us, YouTube online and Crosspoint online, and wherever you're tuning in from, here with us in the room. So excited. We are in week three of this series, People Skills, and we've been talking about how to lead and love others better. We're really talking about a guide to doing that. And we've been looking at how communication isn't just something that is said, but it's also what is heard. In fact, many of us over the last few weeks, we've been getting into small groups where we've been actually dialoguing on what this means. We've been understanding our temperaments and how that plays into the words that we speak. We've been really referencing using this book by Kathleen Edelman called I Said This, You Heard That. Perhaps you've had moments where you said something, somebody else heard something entirely different. A lot of this has to do with our temperament and some other factors that play in, as we're going to talk about today. Even if you're not in a group, man, I really encourage you to pick up the book, which you can pick up at any bookstore. You can pick up out in our commons area as well. Now, if it's your first time with us or it's your first time in a long time, I really encourage you to go back and listen to the last 2 weeks, watch them, kind of get caught up with us. You can find that at crosspointweb.org/watch. And as long as the internet is up and active, you can actually find them there. So I want to tell you about a moment that happened to me last weekend. Weekend was pretty full. Sunday started here at Crosspoint, doing my thing here at Crosspoint teaching. And then went to the Indy 500. Anybody make it to the Indy 500 this week? Oh man, great, great race. Enjoyed that. When we got home, had some yard work to continue doing that we didn't get done the day before. And I was wrapping up around, 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, taking all my tools to the garage, and I see one of my neighbors walking around the corner waving at me, "Hey Kurt, do you have a moment? I have something I need to tell you." And I was just so tired, emotionally drained, tired, and I said to her, "I really don't." And I'm like, where did that come from? Like, who says that? But I did. I said, "I really don't." She said, "Well, I'll just take a moment then." And so, we had a moment of conversation, but I just thought, gosh, what was that? Why did I say that? And as I kind of reflected on that, I realized, okay, that really had nothing to do with her. It really had everything that had to do with me and things that were going on inside of me and actually came out in that moment, which is what we're going to talk about this weekend. Because I just think, when it comes to relationships, I think relationships would be so much simpler if we entered every relationship with a heart that was just full. Very, very full, very, very healthy. Maybe in your life, you'd always had everything wonderful and amazing. And in your relationships, in your past, where your dad attended every game and your mom was at every recital and, your parents just like poured into you. Not that you didn't have some bumps along the way, but even then they poured into you, had friends who poured into you, and nobody ever took advantage of you. Nobody ever, kind of abused you or did anything where they mistreated you, and your heart was just so full. I mean, I just think if we were in that place, relationships would be so much easier. But if your life is like mine, and as I interact with people, I realize nobody's in that place. In fact, the reality is most of us are dinged up a bit, right? I mean, our dad didn't attend every game we had. In fact, he didn't come home some nights, perhaps. And, our moms, in some cases, were dealing with their own issues, and we didn't even realize that they were working out of stuff from their past until perhaps later in our lives. And, perhaps there was abuse in your family or abuse of, alcohol or drugs. And or maybe you just had, a younger sibling, a brother who was, a wild child and demanded a lot of attention from your parents, and you were the golden child, but you didn't get any attention because everything went to him. And so you just kind of felt rejected. I mean, we could all talk about our issues, right? We could have a little old pity party about the things that we carry with us into our relationships and bring into our present. And so I want to kind of illustrate how this begins to affect us this weekend, and specifically what it has to do with how we communicate with one another. So I want to introduce you to Mr. and Mrs. Mugg. This is Mr. Mugg. Say, "Hey, Mr. Mugg." This is Mrs. Mugg. "Hey, everybody." And Mr. and Mrs. Mugg, they met right after college. And when he saw her, he's like, "Woo, really like her." And she's like, "Wow, that's a guy with a degree and a future." And he's like, "Yeah, she is a knockout." So, I mean, she's got all that going with her, for her right there. And so they started dating and, hanging out, and they're so careful. I mean, they really were careful with each other. They watched their words. He was trying to win her heart, and she was trying to win his affection. And, they had a few little bumps along the way, but they were so careful. And even when they had the bombs, I mean, they were thoughtful with each other. They paid attention to what was going on with the other person. And then they got married. And for whatever reason, about a month into their marriage, they just had a moment where all of a sudden they hit like a bump and stuff like came out. And he looked at her and he's like, "What was that?" And she's like, "Well, I didn't know you had anger issues." And like stuff came out again. And he's like, "Well, I didn't know I had anger issues either. But like when you bump me, like stuff just kind of like comes out." And then, you know, before long they had another problem and they just kept like bumping into each other. And before long she went to her sister. She like left. She's like, "Hey, I didn't know that he was like this." And her sister's like, "My word, I didn't know he had anger issues. I've never seen that before." And he went to, we don't really know where guys go. Perhaps his basement, I don't know. Like, you know, he stood in front of the mirror. I mean, he's just like, "Man, every time I think of her, you know, I just get so mad. I mean, I get so mad. I mean, you know, she just like kept bumping me and stuff would come out and it would just make me so mad. I mean, I'm just like, oh my gosh, like my wife, she has issues." And so he's like, "When we were dating, like this never happened. I'd never seen this before." And he's like, "But every time we get an argument, like stuff just comes out." And of course she's like, "Well, you make me act that way." It's been entertaining so far, right? Even if we haven't learned anything, I mean, it's been entertaining. So now here's what I want you to see. You know, Mr. Mug, he thinks the blue beads just keep kind of coming out because they keep having conflicts, right? And she keeps bumping into him. And Mrs. Mug, she thinks the pink beads keep coming out of her because, well, they keep having problems. And he keeps bumping into her. And so here's the truth, though. See, the blue beads, the reason they're coming out of Mr. Mug is because they're in there. And the reason for Mrs. Mug that her pink beads kind of come out whenever they, you know, bump into each other, it's because they're in there. And this is so important because this isn't just like a dating issue or a marriage issue that this happens in, but like this could be like with your in-laws or your sister-in-law, brother-in-law, or perhaps your adult children, or even your teenage children, or even people you work with, people that you're close in relationship with. All of us have stuff that you know, we don't even know that's in us sometimes until we get bumped into. And then it just kind of comes out. We go, "My goodness, what happened? Where did that even come from? I can't even believe I said that. That just is so out of character for me right there." Kind of like that Adele song, you know, "The scars of your love kind of leave me breathless." And, you know, he's just absolutely sure that, you know, the reason the blue beads come out is because she gets on his nerves. And, you know, but the truth is the blue beads come out because they're in there. There's something going on under the surface. And she's convinced that if he'd just do less of this or more of that, or, you know, if he'd watch his words, the pink beads wouldn't come out. But the reality is they're in there. And the reason they come out is because there's stuff going on. And see, here's the reality. All of us have stuff in there going on. And what tends to happen is we tend to kind of look at the other person and say, "This is your fault, right? You're the one that brought this out of me." And I'm not going to ask you to raise hands if you know what I'm talking about, all right? And so the question is, what do we do? Like, how do we handle this? All right, and the answer is pretty simple, believe it or not. The problem is you and I just don't, like, really do the thing that helps us get through this. And so what we have to do is we have to learn to pay attention to what's going on inside of us. All right, and we don't do that very well. All right, and so you say, "Well, how do you do that?" Well, I want us to look again at a guy from the Old Testament named Solomon, King Solomon. We looked at him last week. You know, some believe he's the wisest man that ever lived. He'd accomplished probably more than you and I could ever imagine accomplishing. Built more, owned more. I mean, he just had, you know, was amazing in all that he did. And he writes and gives us this wisdom from his experiences. And here's one of the things he says. He says, "Above all else." All right, in other words, I'm about to tell you something. If you don't hear anything else, I want you to hear this. And that's a mouthful coming from Solomon, by the way. Because if you've read Proverbs or any of the Proverbs in the Old Testament part of the Bible, you know, he talks about work and work ethic and money and relationships. He also is the author of the Song of Solomon, which is all about intimacy in like marriage and husband and wife and sexuality. I mean, it's like you didn't even know that was in the Bible probably, but like he talks about that. And then he has this book called Ecclesiastes that he writes where he talks about all the things he's accomplished and it wasn't even worth anything. Thing, and I don't even know what my purpose is. And I mean, he just kind of laments about that. And so he basically starts right here. He says, "All else," meaning above everything I've said, if you're going to listen to anything, I want you to hear this one thing. He says, "Above all else, I want you to guard your heart." I want you to guard your heart, which means pay attention. He said, I want you to pay attention to what's going on inside of you. And the reason he says this is because in this culture, they believe that emotion was rooted or seated in the heart. This is where our emotion came from. And so this writer of wisdom, Solomon, he's like, I want you to guard your hearts. I mean, you know, when you kind of get together, just pay attention, be on guard, keep the bad guys out, all right? I want you to defend your heart. Now, if I were to just go up and down the rows right now and say, hey, I want you to tell the person next to you, like, what does it mean and how do you, what's your strategy for guarding your heart? Most of you would go like, what? Like, I don't know what you're talking about, Kurt. Which we're not gonna do that, by the way, all right? So don't freak out. But you'd be like, I don't even know what that means, which tells me that you probably aren't doing it, all right? And so Solomon, though, he says, if you're gonna do anything, this is one of the most important things, at least according to the Old Testament perspective, is to guard your heart. Because see, what he knew and what you and I are kind of discovering through this little exercise right here is what's inside of us comes out in the relationships that are most important to us. And we tend to look at the other person and blame them, and you know, and then we get in another relationship or we get into another job with another employer, another boss, and you know, before long, we're four relationships in and we're five jobs later, and all of a sudden it's like, gosh, all the women I've been with, I mean, the blue beads just keep coming out. I gotta find a woman that can, like, you know, won't bring those beads out me. I mean, it's her fault, obviously. And you know, I gotta find a job where they know how to, like, manage me, because every time I'm in a job, like, the blue beads just come out all over everybody. And we kind of blame everybody else. And lo and behold, what we begin to realize is it's actually in us. What's coming out is actually in us. And so Solomon, he's kind of like, hey, this is why. This is why you need a strategy. You need a plan on how to guard your heart. Because see, we're not very good at this. Now, let me tell you what we are really good at, all right? What we are really good at, I mean, we're not very good at guarding our heart, but what we do really, really well is monitoring others' behavior, right? I mean, if I were to go up and down the rows and just say, hey, could you tell us, you know, your strategy for guarding your heart? Well, I'd probably get as many answers as there are people in the room and people at home right now. But if I were to say to you, okay, does anybody know what it means to monitor other people's behavior? Everybody would be like, oh yeah, like, I definitely know how to do that. I mean, I like to tell people, do that, don't do that, say it this way, don't say it that way. Okay, you're not doing it right. I mean, we certainly know how to monitor people's behavior. We're great at monitoring people's behavior. Let's be honest, we suck at monitoring our own heart. We suck at guarding our heart. Now, both are really important, all right? But, and let me kind of help us understand how they're connected right here. Let me see if I can explain this. In your relationships that matter the most, the ones that are closest and most important to you, we want to feel a certain way. And so we look to those people for some of those feelings. We look to feel loved. We look to them to feel, you know, competent. We look to them to feel valued, to be respected, to, you know, be affirmed, to be appreciated. I mean, you've probably never made a list of what you're looking for, but if you were to make one, you would probably say, yeah, those are some things I look for from the people closest to me. And so your husband, your wife, your partner, your sister-in-law, brother-in-law, perhaps your kids, your adult kids, or your, you know, colleagues, whatever the relationship, their actions just have this way of eliciting certain feelings in us, right? And all of a sudden, we sometimes don't like the feelings, so we try to start monitoring their behavior because we don't like the way we feel based on certain things they do or say. And so, you know, what we begin to do is monitor their behavior, right? We're like, I want you to stop certain things or start certain things because we kind of want that emotion. We want the adrenaline, the passion, all that comes with that. And see, the problem is we depend in a huge, huge, huge way on the people around us, you know, our partners, our colleagues, our friends, our kids to kind of, you know, help us experience and feel those things. You know, it helps us feel confident or feel valued or loved, and just some of the things that go on behind the scenes. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, this is actually, you know, pretty normal among most of us. And if we all came into this, like, place with relationships that were just, like, really, really healthy and we don't have any baggage, then we'd probably be able to work through some of this stuff. But the reality is that's not how we enter relationships, right? We have all this stuff from our past stirring in us. And as we've seen, what's inside of us has a way, when we bump into each other, of just kind of spilling out all over. And then our tendency is to look at the other person and say, well, that's your fault. Now, here's the part of the experience I think you might say, yeah, okay, my life can bear witness to this, and I hope I can help us see in the rest of our time. Your ability to feel certain things, think about this for a moment, is determined by the condition of your heart. All right, your ability to feel ongoing certain things that you enjoy feeling is determined by the condition of your heart. And so, for instance, if you grew up in a home where, you know, you just never felt appreciated, your family of origin, you just never felt appreciated. I mean, it's going to be harder and harder for you to sustain in any way reasonable, especially if you get in a relationship with a husband, a wife, or, you know, a close relationship. You're really, no matter what he or she does, you're always going to be like, well, it's never enough. It's never enough. I need more. And that's just going to be kind of where you are because you know, you're somewhat of a reflection of the other person's behavior, but at the same time, you're a reflection of the condition of your heart. In other words, this is where this kind of comes back to our words. Think about this for a moment. The words you speak, think about this, the words you speak have as much to do with the condition of your heart as they actually have to do with anyone's behavior around you. And both are like vitally important to the relationship. It's just that we monitor other people's behavior really well. We don't really do much to guard our own hearts. And so when the blue beads start coming out, we're like, I don't even know where that came from. Like, where'd that come from? If you just quit doing this, then these things would stop like coming up. But the truth is, they're already in there. All right, they're already stirring in there. And again, their behavior is a part of it, but the bigger part is the condition of our heart. So take a look at how Solomon ends this verse right here. This is amazing. He says, above all else, guard your heart. All right, that's what he starts with. And then he says, for everything you do, everything. He says, everything you do, every relationship romantically, everything you do professionally, everything you do, you know, throughout your week as you interact with people, everything you do, it flows from it. Meaning any relationship that you enter into, that relationship experiences the overflow of what's going on in your heart. And then Jesus, he kind of said the same thing. We looked at this last week in Matthew chapter 15. He said, the things that come out of a person's mouth, he says, those actually come from the heart. What he's saying is basically, again, the overflow, everything you say and do is coming out of the overflow of your heart. And if your heart's not in good shape, it's almost impossible to maintain healthy relationships. Now, this is so easy to see in other people, right? I mean, you may have a friend or, you know, some friends or a couple friends that argue. Maybe they run into a big marriage bump and one of them comes and confides in you. And they're just like, can you believe? And they did this. And you just go, yeah, I mean, I know he did that. I mean, that was like a 4 on the scale of 1 to 10, but like her response is like a 10. Like help me understand, like how do we get from a 4 to a 10? It's like she's gone off the rails of the crazy train, right? Like, I just don't know how we went from here to here. And you talk to your partner, your spouse, or, you know, a friend or roommate, and you're like, okay, I talked to, you know, Peggy, and I mean, I know that he shouldn't have done this, but my word, I mean, she overreacted. So we can spot this. We can spot it in other people. See, here's the reality. It's nearly impossible to spot this or to be aware of when we exhibit this. And so it's just important for us to realize that what's in you, whatever's in you, whatever's stirring is going to come out regardless of who you're with. Meaning, you can interchange the pieces, you can find a new place to work, different people to live with, room with, partner with, but what's in you eventually is going to come out because it's in you. And so this is such an important lesson for us to learn from Solomon, to monitor and to guard our hearts. Now, how do we do this? I want to give you some very, very tangible handles, all right? Because this is a bit ethereal right now. And so I want to bring it down to what does it look like for us to guard our hearts, all right? And so I want to introduce you to an exercise that if you do this, I guarantee you, I've been doing this for the last number of years to grow my EQ, to grow my awareness of what other people are feeling and how I'm affecting their lives. And we're all experts in monitoring behavior, right? We know how to do that. In fact, this whole idea of paying attention to what's going on inside of other people, that might be new to us. And I know some of you are probably like, well, this doesn't seem very spiritual. I thought we were going to learn from the Bible. All right. I mean, this is kind of a waste of time. Well, let me tell you something. This is actually spiritual. This is from the Bible. And you can have a lot of knowledge, but if you don't know how to do this well, you're not really going to be able to exhibit anything that Jesus calls us to do in loving and leading other people generously. All right. And so as a Christian, even if you're a Christian, like this is a part of maturing as a Christian. You mature when you learn how to pay attention to what's going on inside of you. All right. And even if you're not a Christian, if you're kind of still like trying to figure that out or you're here for the first time, I mean, we're excited you're here, but like you put this into practice, it's going to benefit your life. All right. And so here's how it goes. You probably heard the phrase, you know, think before you talk, right? Think before you talk. There's two parts to what I want to encourage you to do. The first part is I want you to stop and think what you're feeling before you say anything. All right, and so guys, especially for you, for us, for the guys in the room and tune in online, I know how this works for us. We basically have like three emotions. We're like, okay, what are you feeling? We're like, well, I'm frustrated. Well, is there anything else? Well, no, I'm just frustrated. Well, anything else? Well, I'm mad and I'm frustrated. Is there any, so you got two emotions. Well, I mean, I'm happy, but if I'm not happy, I'm mad and I'm frustrated. So like guys, that's about as deep as guys go. Ladies, just so you know, like we have a hard time identifying our emotions generally. And so guys, I wanna work with this a bit. I wanna help us just understand our vocabulary and our feelings a little better. Ladies, it's a little bit easier to do this. And some of the guys would go, well, that's because they're more emotional. I would disagree with that. I think women are more emotionally intuitive, but guys, typically, I think we're as emotional as women. We just get scared of the emotions, so we kind of suppress them, and then we end up frustrated, all right? And so what I want us to do, I want to kind of increase our vocabulary here for a bit, all right? And so there are a whole bunch of other emotions, and the goal is to figure out, okay, what is the emotion I'm feeling when I have one of those moments where I bump into somebody and things begin to stir inside of me? So we're going to kind of take a journey into the heart. And you might be thinking, especially the guys, Kurt, are you sure that's a good idea? Well, I think it is because Solomon says, hey, you got to guard your heart. You got to pay attention to it. And if we're going to pay attention to it, we got to know what's going on in there. So here's a few things you may have felt before, all right? And there's amazing power. And if you will just begin to do this as you interact this week, I guarantee you you'll see some immediate results. All right, so the first thing I want to ask you to do is you know, pause and say, okay, I want you to name your emotion. What am I feeling in this moment? When you interact with your spouse, your partner, maybe a colleague, you guys bump into each other and stuff just kind of comes out. Okay, what exactly did he or she do? And what did that elicit in me? What's the emotion that's coming to the surface? Now, I want to help you out here. I want to give you an emotion wheel, all right? And so these are all emotions right here. You didn't realize there are that many emotions, but you can scan this QR code. You can bring it up on your device at home. You can do it in the room. I encourage you to save this because these come out of the six core emotions, but this wheel will help you figure out, okay, what am I feeling in this moment? All right, you can kind of say, okay, look at, okay, oh, it's this one right here. Now, for many of us, it's like, okay, anger. I feel anger right now. We all know what anger is, all right? So what else is there? Well, I feel rejected, all right? Okay, well, I thought you said you were angry. Well, I was angry. I was really angry. But then I said, okay, well, why am I angry? Well, I actually feel angry because I feel rejected, all right? I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed. And I'm angry. Well, why are you angry? Well, I'm angry because she did something and it hurt me and I actually got really embarrassed. Okay, see, now we're getting somewhere. We can pinpoint, here's the emotion. Disrespected, disrespected. Ladies, you get so mad sometimes at him and just say, I am so mad and frustrated with him. All right, well, what's behind that? Well, honestly, you might be mad and frustrated, but it's probably because maybe you got disrespected. I just feel like a failure. Every time, you know, you start talking about our brother-in-law, I mean, every time I hear about all the trips that are going on, I mean, I just have these feelings well up inside of me. I find myself getting angry, all right? And I know you think I don't like him, but I really do. I don't dislike him. It's just that every time I hear about all the places they're going, if I'm honest, okay, what am I feeling? I feel like a failure. I look at all the things they're able to do, and I'm like, I haven't accomplished that much. And it makes me feel like a failure. You gotta surface that. Hang on to that for a moment. We're gonna come back to the failure piece in a moment. I think I'm sad. Okay, well, why are you sad? Well, I'm sad because I guess because I'm lonely. Well, why are you lonely? Well, because the person I'd been with, like they left me, they abandoned me. Ooh, now we're getting somewhere. I feel abandoned. Not just sad, but abandoned. I think I'm scared. I thought I was frustrated. I mean, I was frustrated with everything going on and not being able to predict the way things are going to go and nothing's easy, but I don't think it's really frustration. I think, honestly, if I could pinpoint, I think I'm really scared. I feel betrayed. I feel like they totally betrayed my trust. To be honest, I think I'm jealous. And jealousy is a hard one to look in the mirror. I mean, this is a hard one to see in ourselves. I think I'm jealous. Every time I see her wearing that little shirt, you know, it just reminds me that I'd never fit in that shirt. And I know you think I don't like her. I think you think that I just don't get along with her. But no, every time I see that, I think I'm jealous. I think I'm jealous. See, what is it? What can you pinpoint? What's the thing that's stirring up? You know, as we bring it to the surface, I know it feels a little weird, but what exactly is it? This is what it means to guard our hearts. what exactly am I feeling? Okay, I'm frustrated. I don't want to keep getting into arguments. Okay, I think I know what it is. I've never said this out loud before. In fact, I feel even embarrassed. And there's another thing to even say, I'm embarrassed to even say this out loud. I think, just on everything that's happened, a few of my failures recently, I think I feel very insecure. I feel insecure. There it is. I just said it. I feel insecure. That's what you do when you identify, okay, what exactly is my emotion? And then the second thing we have to do is we have to say it out loud. All right, now you don't have to do this to somebody else right away. You start with yourself. It's just something about saying it out loud. Okay, I'm jealous. Okay, I feel like a failure right here. All right, this really made me feel betrayed. See, now we're beginning to pinpoint exactly what's in you. And crazy things beginning to happen. See, as long as those emotions stay buried and unidentified, and we don't really know, it's just, well, I'm just frustrated. I don't know what it is. I'm just frustrated. As long as they stay buried, you're going to be frustrated and angry. And let me tell you something. As long as those emotions are held in secret without being identified, they have enormous, 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 enormous power over you. They drive you. They drive what you say. They drive what you do. They'll drive you into a cave. They'll drive you into a funk. They're very, very powerful, but when we start unearthing them, we start naming them out loud, they begin to lose their power. You might even say, you know, when my wife talks about my brother-in-law, her brother, and you know, I just begin to feel like a failure. He's so successful, and I feel like a failure. But when I think about it, okay, maybe she's not really doing that to hurt me. I think actually, maybe she's just proud of her brother. She just loves her brother. Wow. Maybe all the things I feel really are like more Kurt beads than him beads, right? This has nothing to do with him. I got to own this one. Maybe I even need to apologize to her. Now, why is it? Here's a question to get to the bottom of. Why is it that his success makes me feel like a failure? That would be a really good question to get to the bottom of. And I think what we begin to discover is much of what we feel is less about the other person and more about what we brought into this moment. Has nothing to do, perhaps, with our spouse or with the person we're working with or with the friend or the boyfriend or the girlfriend. Because these words, these actions just kind of surface stuff that was already in there. And I'm telling you, there is so much freedom that comes when we begin to discern what they said and how we feel. But as long as it's in secret, it just controls us. So you got to name it. You got to say, okay, I'm jealous. All right, I felt right here. I was angry. I was angry because I felt left out. Right, I felt inadequate in this moment. And I'm speaking from a guy because that's all I know how to do, just in case you were wondering. But for guys, this is so hard. Let me just tell you, it is so hard to say this out loud. But when you do it, I'm telling you, it begins to lose its power. And then the last thing, the third thing we do with it, so you name it, you say it out loud, and then sometimes when it's appropriate, you gotta wait for the appropriate time, you gotta be very sensitive on this, you tell it to your partner, your spouse, your friend, your coworker. You tell them. And here's how the conversation might go. Mr. Mug comes to Mrs. Mug and says, you know, I've discovered that like when you say those things to me, when I give you a call and tell you I'm gonna be, you know, late, you know, home from work tonight, when you say those things to me, man, I just want you to know, I feel so like unappreciated. I mean, I just feel like this stuff starts coming out. Now, listen, there's no bad feelings, all right? No bad feelings. Sometimes we're made to feel like our feelings are wrong or bad or we shouldn't feel them. There's no bad feelings. And so when somebody you love comes to you and says, hey, you know, when you do this, this is kind of how it makes me feel. Listen, that's not criticism at all, just so you know. That's just an observation. Or they're not being critical. They're just saying, hey, I'm observing. This is what happens when this interaction takes place. And so when Mr. Bluebead comes and he says, hey, when you do certain things, it makes me feel a certain way, that's just information. All right, and so when you open up to somebody in this way, when you know, kind of the proper response, let me show you what it should be. What we should do is go, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you told me. Oh my gosh. And then the next thing you do with it is this right here. You go, and that's the hard part right there, right? Like you just don't say anything. You hold your tongue. Like let's just practice that because this is the hard part. Let's just say, you go, and you just go, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you told me. Not, well, you shouldn't feel that way. Or, I'm sorry you feel that way. No, it's just, oh my gosh, thank you for telling me. Listen, this is why. See, healthy people, when they discover that there's something that they're doing or they're saying that elicits some kind of response that is undesirable, I mean, that hurts, that really causes us to just feel a sense of like, I'm not being respected. You know what healthy people do? Healthy people quit doing it. That's what they do. They don't say, well, you're just going to have to deal with me. I mean, that's just me. That's just who I am. All right, man, we got to toughen up. I mean, if you get bent out of shape about that, we need to toughen up. That's not what healthy people do. Healthy people, they just quit. They go, oh my gosh, I'm sorry. Here's what I want you to do this week. I want you to pay attention. I want you to pay attention to what's going on inside of you. All right, this week, I want you to ask this question. When you feel like there's stuff welling up, just say, okay, what emotion am I feeling? Pull that emotion wheel up and just start to pinpoint, what's the emotion? All right, and then pay attention. Okay, what did they say or do that brought that up in me? All right, and then you go, oh my gosh, maybe this isn't a them problem. Maybe it's not even a marriage problem or a relationship problem. Maybe this is more of a heart problem right here. Oh my gosh, God, man, give me the grace to overcome what's going on inside of me right now, God. And we discover what Solomon says is actually probably pretty true. Above all else, he says, guard your heart because everything else comes and flows from it. So here's the challenge this week. I want to encourage you to start paying attention to what's going on inside of you when you're interacting. Take a pause. When things start getting stirred up, go, okay, all right, what am I thinking right here? When she says or he says or they act or they do more of this or less of that, I mean, just pay attention. Okay, even get the wheel out. Okay, what emotion am I feeling right here? And before you act or before you say anything, just first go, God, okay, God, I need your grace right now. Would you help me identify what this emotion is? And would you help me? I want to name it. I want to speak it out loud. I want to take the power away from it. And then even at the appropriate time, you might even be able to go, oh my gosh, you know, when you say this, I just want you to know, that's how it makes me feel. And I'm telling you, because they love you, they might even go, man, I'm so glad you said that. I'm so glad that you cared enough to share that with me. Because I don't ever want to create that again. And this is where we're going to pick it up next week. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, I know this lands in a lot of different places for us right now. And for some of us, this probably helps explain some of our families of origin. For others of us, it explains perhaps a previous marriage. For others of us, it explains maybe some difficult challenges we're going through right now, or even gives us something to shoot for, something to achieve, something to work toward. And Father, I just pray that wherever we are in that spectrum, God, I just pray that you would help us guard our hearts. Help us to pay attention to what's going on inside of us. I pray that we, as students, as men, as women, God, that we would pay attention to what's going on in our hearts so that we can not only generously love, but we can also receive love and be loved. And so, God, even in this moment, I just want us to make a little room. I want us to make a little room right now for you to communicate with us. And help us to see, God, help us to have eyes to see what we need to see in this moment, even the courage to respond the way that perhaps we need to respond.